Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Money and Change, and also our Facebook page, Money and Change / Financially Prepped. And we've got all the stories that we're going to cover today on that Facebook page, and we'll get there in just a second. But welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network, and I appreciate you coming in and visiting with us. And I'll tell you what, we've got some interesting things coming up. You know, if you go out and shop lately, the prices are getting a little bit more expensive. We don't know it, but everything's inching up just a little bit. And gas prices have been up and down and up and down. And you try to save some money someplace. And I don't know where things are going to happen in the coming months. It's hard to predict. The only thing that I can tell you to do is pay down your debt. Get out of debt as soon as possible. Put some money aside. You need an emergency fund. Buy some long-term food, canned goods, frozen goods, freeze-dried, MREs. I don't care. Start building up your storage capacity on your food. How about cleaning supplies? Do you have enough soap? Do you have enough deodorant? How about paper towels? The all-essential toilet paper. Can you find a way to purify water and store it? Do you have enough bottled water around? Do you have a way to filter it out? Because you don't know what could be in that bottled water. A lot of things to consider. Do you have the clothing for the season? Right now it's summer here in the United States. And it's a hot one, so hopefully you've got a way to keep cool. Do you have fans? Do you have batteries? Do you have flashlights? A lot of things to prep for. And I've always said this for over at least 10 years, maybe probably 16, the way I've been going with the show off and on. So I don't want to scare anybody. I'm just saying be sensibly prepared because things could go downhill. We don't know. And so you can't depend on the government. You can't depend on anybody except yourself. So be as self-sufficient as you can. Well, anyhow, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. So much for my diatribe to start off with. It's just, I want everybody to get through anything that happens. And I'm not saying that things will happen. Things could happen for the better. Things could happen for the worse. But you got to be prepared. But, oh, I'll tell you what. The Trim Radio Network, we've got our webpage up. And I'll tell you what, it's a good one. If you go ahead and take a look at it, and we'll do that right now. Like Jerry says, hit the button. Well, I am. Right here it is. The Trim Radio Network. We cut the bull and serve the truth, and that's the way it is. And you can join us. You can have your own show. All you have to do is contact us, and we'll walk you right through the whole rigmarole to do it. Okay, the whole procedure, the fancy word would be. And if you want to get a hold of us, there's a little box over here on the right-hand side that says, hi there. Thanks for visiting Trim Radio Network. How can we help you today? Click on the red button. It used to be blue. Now it's red. Anyhow, you put your name in. You put your phone number in. Don't forget your area code. Also, put in your message and leave your email address. Leave your cell phone number as a backup and send us the message. And somebody will be in touch with you very quickly. Okay? That's all you have to do. So if you want to do your own show, it's easy to do. If I can do it, anybody can do it. It's just learning how to press the right buttons. It really is. It's that simple. But anyhow, you take a look at the way that we've got our company here, and I'll tell you what, the leadership here, we've got a good group of people. And here they are. We've got Michael Bejas as the founder, and he's the CEO. And Michael's one heck of a computer builder. He built me my tower, and I'll tell you what, it's loaded, and it's got so many bells and whistles on it, thanks to Michael. It's fantastic. Roscala Stefan, Chief Operating Officer, and he's responsible for the day-to-day operation and management of the network and ensuring efficiency and quality. And he's a computer whiz. He really is. Real nice guy. He's located up in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And I think there's my mug there. And I guess I'm the Chief Relationship Officer, whatever that is. I guess I'm responsible for building and maintaining the foundational trust and goodwill necessary for long-term success. Well, I want to have long-term success here because we're trying to help people with our programs. Victoria Smith, our Chief Marketing Officer, responsible for all marketing activities and brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. She's a good person. And this last week when we had a problem with the StreamYard section of our network, we had a problem, and it all related to Google had an update and it messed everything up. I lost 15 minutes of the show. We had to do it over again on Thursday. And I will do that if for any reason we have any type of issue that we can't get out or we miss part of the show. I'll gladly redo the show. I really will. Because I want to help people out. I've been doing this for almost 16 years. And I've known some people on YouTube for 16 years, all the way down to probably 3 or 4 years. And all we want to do is help people out. That's what we do, okay? So that's our team. And it's a good group of people. All three of them. Three and a half. I don't know. Anyhow, if you go to channels, you'll see us on live stream, vault, events, schedule, and community. Collectibles. Yeah, they're collectibles, but you know what they do? If you shop and these magic boxes come up, they're quicker this time. You'll see that we have t-shirts, hats, more t-shirts, especially the Money and Change t-shirt and the Money and Change mugs. Those are good ones. Okay, check them out. The other t-shirts, other mugs, morphing mugs, all kinds of stuff. The money that we get from you buying those things goes into keeping us on the air. It goes in for airtime, and airtime is not cheap. And so you can help us out by keeping us on the air by the merchandise. That's it. If you want to donate, you can donate. It's easy to do, but you know, we want you to get the information that we're putting out there. That's the main reason. And Trim Radio Network goes all over the world. I've got listeners in Myanmar, which is used to be called Burma. I've got listeners in India. I've got listeners in South Africa. I now have listeners in Kenya. And for them, I can say Jambo and Habari. It's hi, how are you in Swahili. I learned that when I was in college, believe it or not. I had a friend that was from Kenya, and I'll tell you what, spoke very good British English, but he was a smart cookie. He ended up being the assistant undersecretary in Kenya. He was a sharp guy. I really like him. We had a lot of foreign students, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But anyhow, you can donate by buying the merchandise or donating to the show. You can do that. And here you can contact us. You know, I said hit the red button, okay? So that's the Trim Radio Network. You can do your own show if you want. I don't care if you want to talk about raising cats or, gee whiz, painting. Talk about the economy. Talk about religion. We have all different kinds of stuff you can talk about. Just contact us, okay? Well, what else is next? Oh, the Money and Change / Financially Prepped page. I was just adding things just before the show. But you can check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/groups/ Money and Change. And we're there. And you can join our group. It's a public group. Just ask. And the doors will be open. Okay. I've heard that someplace else. I think I heard that every Sunday or at lodge too. Anyhow, we've got that. And I do a lot of posting during the week. And of course, this is the post for today. And to join us at 7 p.m. And the topics to be covered will be posted in the comment section below. And here we go. Here are the content, the contents that we're going to cover. Okay, a lot of different things. We may run out of time and we may not be able to get to the last one. Americans can't afford living paycheck to paycheck. It's about 12 minutes long, but I'll tell you what, click on it, listen to the information. If we don't have time to cover it, then we will go ahead and just let you go to the content section and discover what that information is. Okay? Check us out, Money and Change / Financially Prepped. Another thing you need to check out also is Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks, and they are on Facebook too. All it is facebook.com/group/ Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. That's RustyDucks Custom Pens and Blanks. Okay? Check them out. If you're a sorority, fraternity, college, university, high school, grade school, kindergarten, if you need pens, and these pens are presentable pens for, you know, somebody special, like, hey, mom and dad, thanks for getting me through the first grade, or maybe high school, maybe college. A good presentation pen would be nice, and they're beautiful. Trust me, Michael Bejas and I both have them. And he's got a couple of really collector pens on some of the cars that he's done. So you want to check that out. Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. And they're on Facebook. Okay, check them out. I have to give a big shout out to the University of Findlay. Yeah, school's starting. They basically started moving in this last week. And it's interesting because a lot of the football players and soccer players and so forth at the college help people move into their dorm rooms. It's a great community. It really is. And, you know, if you check us out on My World on Wednesday nights, it's always live. We always have some comedy and so forth, but I always have some videos of the University of Findlay and some of the things that are going on there. And I wouldn't promote the school if I didn't believe in it, because it is a good school. And they prepare people for meaningful lives. They really do. So if you want to learn to be a teacher, hey, they have a great education department. They have a great physical therapy department. They have a great pharmacy department. I mean, they've got everything but basically medicine and engineering. I mean, it's a good school. It really is. And, you know, your success is their priority. They want to get you a good education and get you out in the world and be productive. You're not going to get basket weaving at the University of Findlay. Trust me. So if you're playing football, don't expect to have basket weaving. It just doesn't exist. You will have a meaningful education and you'll probably have a degree in business or physical therapy or whatever. Okay. But I'll tell you what, it's a 12-to-1 student to faculty ratio. And you've got around 4,000 students now. 32 states are represented and 51 countries. Yeah, there are foreign students there. And there are scholarships available to everybody. That's what makes it nice. And they say, oh, Findlay is an expensive school. Not when you add in the scholarships that are available. It's affordable. It really is. And, you know, this fall semester starting, but you can also apply for the winter semester, okay? And it's a very good school. So check them out at www.findley.edu. And Dr. Kathy Fell is the president of the university, and she's done a fantastic job. Trust me. University of Findlay's one of Ohio's 10 most affordable colleges. It's basically covered the best Midwestern colleges in 2025, according to the Princeton Review. The best colleges in America in Money Magazine. Hey, check them out, okay? Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, we're going to get into the goodies here. Speaking of healthcare, an article came up with from Zachary Stieber at Epoch Times, and I saw that today, and I thought, hey, I'm going to have to get that out and tell people about it because this is important. You know, we had the COVID scare, scam, whatever you want to call it. We had that going on in 2020. Some people got the vaccine, some people didn't. Some people were scared into taking the vaccine, some were coerced into taking the vaccine, and others just said, I'll just live a healthful life. I will eat fresh vegetables, get sunlight, fresh air, and so forth. And that was their choice. But there were some of them where they worked in healthcare or other jobs, and they were coerced into taking the jab. So this article came out. It said healthcare system to pay more than $1 million to settle a COVID-19 vaccine mandate case. And now the cases are coming out about the mandates. It said the healthcare system that operates hospitals and clinics in two states has agreed to pay more than $1 million to settle allegations it discriminated against religious employees. You can't discriminate based on religion. That is not a good thing. Well, anyhow, Mercy Health, which operates in Illinois and Wisconsin, reached the settlement after years of pre-litigation negotiations following an investigation by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC. And the probe found evidence that Mercy Health engaged in discrimination by denying employees religious exemptions to its COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Mercy Health also fired the workers or lowered their wages and discriminated against other workers by denying them a chance to even request religious accommodation instead of terminating them or withholding pay, according to the EEOC. And at the start of my tenure as acting chair of the EEOC, I committed to focusing our agency's resources to address the very real problem of religious discrimination, and this resolution is just the beginning, said EEOC Acting Chair Andrea Lucas. This is an example of our agency can accomplish when we work with employers to ensure that the doors of our workplaces are equally open to religious employees. Well, guess what? People were saying, you know, you did that to me illegally. You can't do that. Well, they didn't believe it. And they said, no, you have to get the jab. Everybody was so scared about flu. The flu was bad. But if you got fresh air and vitamin D, according to some sources, plenty of vitamin C, and could exercise, and you watched the people you hung around with, you'd be okay. And they never got the flu. But then you had companies that said, no, you have to get the shot because they were scared that the flu was going to spread because somebody said it was going to spread and it was going to be a nasty flu. Well, yeah, it was a nasty flu. And yeah, it spread, but there's still a lot of questions about it. So, and now Mercy Health is having to settle by paying out $1 million. And that's going to cost them. Is that going to affect your health care? Maybe the cost. I don't know about you, but if I go into a place and said, oh, you knew this shot and that shot and so forth, I'm going to question every shot. I'm not a doctor. I just stayed in a Holiday Inn Express one night. At least that's what the commercial said. But anyhow, guys, I'm just saying that, you know, you have to watch and ask questions. If a doctor says you need this or this or this, I'm going to say why. And if I think that the doctor is trying to snow me, I'm going to look for a second opinion. I had that happen one time. And the doctor said, well, you need to take thyroid medication. And I said, I do. Oh, yeah, you need thyroid medication. So they put me on thyroid medication. It made me worse. And so I asked them again. And they said, oh, no, you need it. So I switched doctors. And the doctor looked at it, looked at the blood test. He said, you don't need this. You're going to have to stop taking it and dry out over 6 weeks, and then we'll take another blood test. And if it's okay, then you're good. You know, you don't have to take the meds. But I don't want you taking any of it. He was right. You know, always ask questions. Why? And you need to do that, especially it's your health, okay? It could be your kid's health. It could be your wife's health. It could be your parents. Always ask questions. And hopefully things get resolved, okay? Oh, boy, I spent time on that one. Hey, Texas is preparing to cut off power to data centers during grid emergencies. Why? Because they use a lot of power. And the power's coming from the grid. Now, this comes out of George Root of Utility Dive. And he said, Texas is prepared to cut off power to data centers during grid emergencies, a sign of just how strained the system has become. These data centers use a heck of a lot of electricity and water. The water's used for cooling. And it's scary because where I live, supposedly, we're going to get a data center. It's going to be great for an economic boom. But the problem of it is, it's going to take a lot of power and it's going to take a lot of cooling. And I'm not so sure that would be a good thing for the Great Miami River in Ohio. But we'll wait and see what happens. But anyhow, they said, over the 4th of July, deadly floods swept across central Texas, disrupting infrastructure and causing widespread outages. And meanwhile, the Electricity Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, has already seen multiple price spikes and conservative alerts or conservation alerts. Not because there wasn't enough power, but they couldn't move it where it was needed. And back when they had blizzards and everything else, I think it was a couple of years ago, the power lines were frozen and the generators got messed up and so forth. Texas was in a real big world of hurt. And I had a friend of mine that lived outside of Dallas. And she said, if it wasn't for a generator, we would have been without power for 2 weeks. And in some cases, people were out of power for a month. And she said, at least we had a generator. Boy, when I talked to her, I said, gee, Diana, maybe I need to get a generator. Maybe I need to get solar panels. Maybe I need to watch how much energy I use. And she said, yeah, we had to learn to conserve energy quite a bit. And there were a lot of people that were really hurting in our neighborhood. So, you know, the grid is delicate all over the United States. Here in Ohio, we get most of ours from PJM, which is out of the East Coast, and that's Niagara Falls and all of that. But on the power grid where I'm at, we get our power from AMP, American Municipal Power. And we've got several different ways to generate power. But on demand times when you really need it, then you have to go to PJM. And we don't have the problems that AES has. A lot of our equipment is a lot newer. We don't have as many customers as AES, but I'll tell you what, we have a good power supply system and they're very good people. But when it comes to power, I hope you have backups. I hope you have kerosene lanterns if you need them. I hope you have kerosene heaters if you need them in the wintertime. It's called being prepared. Okay? What else is going on? Oh, yeah, these are the best colleges for high-paying finance jobs. Wow. You've got Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT. Average annual wage premium over the first 10 years in the career is $74,000. Harvard. I know some people that graduated from Harvard. They were very good lawyers, by the way, and friends. They made $64,000 to start out. Princeton, $62,000. Penn, $61,000. Dartmouth. Oh, we're getting to the Ivy League schools here. And then there's Claremont Mechanic College. I'm not sure of that one. I guess it's Dartmouth. No, maybe it's something different. Yale. At $55,000, Columbia University at $53,000. Then you have Stanford and Duke down the Carolinas, and you got Williams, and you got Georgetown University down in Washington, D.C. You've got the University of Chicago, $49,000 a year. Cornell University, I had a friend that went to Cornell, football player, and also an assistant coach. And he ended up running very big facilities for General Motors. Very smart individual. Then there's Bowdoin, Brown University, NYU, Amherst College. And then we've got the University of Notre Dame, Wesleyan University. And we've got all that information on Visual Capitalists. And there it is. You can take a look at that. Okay. But I'll tell you what, when you look at all of those jobs, and they're high-paying finance jobs, you know, sometimes there are more plumbers and electricians that will make more money. Whatever happened to trade schools? You know, people go to a two-year community college and they learn different trades. Some people go to a joint vocational school or career centers, we have them in Ohio now, and they learn trades there. Then they go on and they go to a two-year college and they learn more. Then they go out and they really earn some really good money. And I've known people that have gone to college and they have come out and they've graduated and their starting salary was around $30,000 starting. Is that enough? Probably not. And had they gone into the trades, whether it was plumbing, electrical, or construction, whatever, they would have been making, you know, $70,000-$80,000 a year or more. So you have to balance between going to college or going to a trade school. And I think we need more trade schools. I really do. So if you want to get a high-paying finance job, hey, those are the schools. Check them out. They're in the comments section. Wow, what else? Visualizing how America's workforce has changed over the past 25 years. And this was in Zero Hedge. And it said 2 decades ago, nearly 1 in 5 American workers answered phones, filed paperwork, or managed calendars. Today, that figure's fallen sharply. The visualization from Visual Capitalist Pallavi Rao compares how 100 hypothetical workers were distributed across occupations in 2002 versus 2024. And it was revealing which fields lost or gained or shared during a period marked by globalization, new technology, and pandemic. Yeah, pandemic. I kind of think it was a planned pandemic, if you really twist my arm. Don't twist it. But you take a look at office administration, you had 18. Office and administration, you had 12. Sales, you had 10. Manufacturing. And then you had food and transportation and logistics were grouped together. And you look over here, you had the same grouping, but you only had 9 people. It was reduced to 9. Transportation and logistics and education. Management. Say, speaking of education, you know when they said, okay, you can stay at home and do all your education educational studies on a computer? And then they brought them back in the classroom. Did that just dumb down a few generations of students? Think about it. Did they actually achieve anything on the computer? That's what scares me a lot. It's just not, you know, there are textbooks and there are computers. There are lectures, there are good teachers, of course there are bad teachers too. But you have to have good education to make a society grow and develop. You take a look at doctors and nurses and construction and extrication, installation and repair, business and finance, the custodial part and so forth. You can take a look at that whole chart. And you can see what it was before COVID, and you can see what it was after COVID. And you notice a lot of people were paid not to work when they could have. And then the wages started going up. And then people got laid off. Why? Businesses couldn't afford the labor market. The wages went up, and the amount of jobs went down. So a lot of people with very good educations, maybe in finance, ended up working at Burger King or Wendy's. Or how about Walmart? Yeah, it happens. Well, what else is going on? I have a video for you. Yeah, I do. How Trump's tariffs may affect your coffee. It'll make it more expensive, maybe. But I saw this. How many of you are coffee drinkers out there? I can't drink coffee because I'm allergic to it. I know a lot of people drink coffee. And I don't think we can grow it here in the States. I think you have to go down to South America for that because of the climate. I'm a tea drinker. I love iced tea. I really do. But coffee, yeah, sorry, I can't do that. Well, listen to this one.
The number one question that I've been receiving since these tariffs were first announced is who's going to eat them? Who is going to feel them? There's a wealth of research on tariffs. And to be fair, these are mostly affecting row crops, the building blocks of the food supply chain. So corn, wheat, soybeans. But there's a lot of work that's been done on the first Trump administration on what were the impacts of those tariffs. And just like you just said, it's been shown that the brunt of these tariffs was borne by a combination of firms, typically manufacturers, retailers, and then mostly consumers. And the reason for that is simple. Most food companies operate on very thin margins. There was a narrative that became pervasive during COVID and the aftermath that a lot of companies were engaging in unfair pricing or price gouging. Of course, I'm open to the idea that there have been some bad actors, but in general, it's pretty easy to look at the CPI and PPI data from BLS, the numbers that you guys cited to kick this segment off, and see that margins are not only thin, but they've been shrinking during this inflationary period of the last 3-4 years. So the capacity for importers and roasters, and then especially retailers, to eat this and see their margins shrink even more, very, very limited. So we can expect to see coffee price inflation, which is already one of the fastest moving categories in terms of the CPI, you know, food prices that we look at. It's one of the few categories that's really been experiencing sustained inflation throughout 2025. Almost likely we haven't seen the peak yet. That's going to continue to climb in the next, my best guess is 3 to 5 months.
You're going where I wanted to lead you there, Ricky, because I was going to ask you, coffee futures, you're at your highest level in 2 months. You're having your best month since January. And I was going to ask you where you expect to see prices in the months ahead. Can we, you know, what levels would you be looking for?
It is very hard to imagine a scenario where retail coffee price inflation cools off in the next couple of months. So yeah, I'm going to stick with that. We can expect to see those prices continue to increase substantially for, my best guess is, the next 3 to 5 months. And the advice that I would offer to you and your listeners is, if you want to get a feel for where coffee prices, or really any retail prices, are going, look at the corresponding producer price index. When you hear about food price inflation, usually folks are talking about the CPI, the consumer price index. And that makes sense, because that's calculated based on the retail prices that, you know, the Rickies of the world pay when we go to the supermarket. But the PPI, those are business to business prices, and they're much forward looking. And the trajectory of increase for those prices for you know, farm and wholesale prices for coffee beans has been even more dramatic than the retail prices, which means we still haven't seen the biggest gains. There's more to come. And this, we haven't even been talking about the tariffs on steel and aluminum. And, you know, the coffee supply chain is one that would be hit particularly hard by that, in terms of the packaging and the sort of capital inputs that are required to grind coffee and store it and keep it fresh and temperature control and all of that. So once those steel and aluminum tariffs on places like China start to filter in the food supply chain, it's only going to stack on top of these commodity price impacts that we're already seeing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. When you look at the prices and the inflation that's out there, you know, if you look at what it was back in the 1950s, for example, $50 would get you probably a full grocery cart of food. And in the 60s, just about the same. Then it got into the 70s and 80s and 90s, and suddenly what you had for $50 was a lot smaller and a lot less, depending on what you bought. And I've seen people at Wally World, and you know who I'm talking about, and they go in there and they've got one grocery cart packed to the brim and beyond. They take out their credit card and they pay for their groceries on the credit card, and they might have $200 to charge on that credit card. Hopefully they pay it off before they get hit with the interest. And if they don't, they just pay half the amount, or maybe three-fourths the amount, and they still have to pay the interest on it. That's crazy. But I've seen them do that. And people are scraping by. You know, I just go and get maybe 10 items. Next thing you know, it's $44. I kind of don't like that. I wish we were back in the 50s when the dollar was actually worth more. It's not worth that much anymore. Why? Government spending. They spend like drunken sailors. But that's an affront to the drunken sailors, because drunken sailors know when to quit, because they run out of money. The government isn't that way. They just want to print more money and cause more inflation. Just go to usdebtclock.org. I always put it up on the show. I didn't have time to do that today because, what are we, $37 trillion for national debt? And it's going higher and higher and higher because the government spends money that they don't have. And now they're going to start charging our kids, grandkids, the great grandkids in the future. You know, if they had to run with a balanced budget, we'd be okay. And I think Trump is, with the tariffs, I think we're going to start seeing some improvement. But there's going to be short-term pain because there's going to be a lot more things that you're going to have to pay a higher price on. But with the high tariffs, maybe the countries will want to negotiate them down to maybe 15%. I could live on 15%. I couldn't live on 450%, like a couple of countries are going to get charged. Oh, yeah. Well, anyhow, Trump's a businessman. He knows business. Maybe that's what we needed all along. Maybe 50 years ago, we needed people that knew business and how to save money and how to make money. Okay. Well, what else is going on here? So much of my gab. Maybe it's venting. Maybe it is venting. Well, anyhow, average American to receive $3,752 tax cut in 2026 due to OBBBA. And this comes from Teresa Boudreau at the Center Square. And she said the White House is touting a new economic analysis that estimates taxpayers will see an average of $3,752 tax cut in 2026 due to the provisions in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, the OBBBA. And according to the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation report, taxpayers in every state will see reduced federal taxes next year, and though there is considerable geographic variations in tax benefits. And they said President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill is the largest, most consequential tax cut on the middle class ever. And that was according to the White House Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly. And between lower inflation, massive investments, and historic tax cuts, all Americans are reaping the benefits of the Trump's economy, and the golden age has just begun. Well, I hope it has begun. We need a golden age. Matter of fact, senior citizens shouldn't be paying property tax, or they shouldn't be paying really income tax once they reach 65 years of age. That's my thought and a lot of other people's. Pay during your working years, and when you retire, hey, guess what? Your taxes are automatically reduced. That should happen. Well, anyhow, three key business tax credits were made permanent as well. Full reimbursement for new capital investments like machinery and equipment, an expanded deduction for corporations' interest on debt, and immediate deductions for companies' research costs. You know, a lot of people are going to say, well, that's just helping out the big business guy. But guess what? If they make money, then the workers are going to make money because they can get maybe higher wages, or they can hire more people because they've expanded their business. You have to consider that. So hopefully everybody's going to get a tax decrease, not an increase. And I hope that happens. I really do, because we need it. The dollar's not worth that much, and we need to start bringing it back so we can have a better, more solid dollar. Okay. Fleeing high cost blue states. Here's where the bills are the lowest. And this is according to DOXO Insights. And this is 2025 state by state bill pay market report. And there it is. And you can take a look at everything there, everything from waste and recycling and gas and life insurance and everything else. And it goes around. You can check that out in the comments section. It'll be there. Matter of fact, last week's stuff was in the comments section. Even the week before that was in the comments section. Okay, and you can take a look about the monthly median cost of 13 most common household bills by state. Right there. Wow, Stockman. America don't need no independent Fed. Authored by David Stockman from the internationalman.com. All we need, according to a lot of people, is a U.S. Treasury instead of the Fed. Anyhow, you can read that article here, and it says, here's possibly the most important graph ever about the flagging state of the U.S. economy and the utter failure of the Washington's constant effort during the past two decades to stimulate improved outcomes. I think the big thing that you need to remember about government involvement is the old pogo phrase, we have met the enemy and they is us. Sometimes the government is the, well, like I used to say, working for the state of Ohio. Besides, we have met the enemy and they is us, I work for the state of confusion. Politicians always found a way to mess things up. That's all the farther I'm going to go. I could open up a big can of worms there. But anyhow, guys, trust me, government can be its own worst enemy when it comes to business, making money and saving money. Oh, what else we got? Oh, yeah, I've got a good one here. Listen to this one.
Yahoo Finance senior columnist Carrie Hannon back with us. So, Carrie, let's jump right in. The first question says, I just signed up for traditional Medicare starting this fall. What can I expect to pay each month? So manage their expectations. What can they pay?
All right. I got to say up front, this stuff is not easy. This year, you're going to pay a premium. So for next year, it's going to go up. But for 2025, the premium is $185 a month. And you'll also have a deductible of $257, which is paid once, you know, upfront once a year before your Medicare kicks in. So expect those will tick up a bit next year, but that's where you're going to be there. In addition, most people that have traditional Medicare also have a Medigap policy, which is a private health insurance policy that covers all the things that traditional Medicare might not, including the deductible and co-pays and so forth. These policies you buy separately, and they range, you know, widely depending on your age and your health and so forth. But they can be anywhere from, you know, $30 a month to $300 a month. So it's a wide gap. You really need to shop around for those. But most people also include that in their other things. I should also note that for the Medicare premium, the $185 I mentioned is the basic, but it can go up depending on your income. And they look back 2 years, so what your income was 2 years prior to get that number. So those are some things to keep in mind. I would say you can go to Medicare.gov, the plan finder. Medicare plan finder is a great resource to do research on what your individual situation might be, depending on where you live.
Okay, good to know. As you said, not easy. Question two, I promise I did not put in this one in here, but this relates to me. I am in my 40s. The question reads, how much should I have saved to cover healthcare costs in retirement and what can help me save more?
Okay. All right. Well, take a breath. This is not a small number. Fidelity just recently came out with their projection for if someone were to retire this year at age 65, they could expect to spend $172,500 out of pocket for the remainder of their life. So figure you're 40 now. I'm telling you, healthcare costs are not going down. So this is a big chunk of change. And so it's really something that is, you know, very few people plan for what they think about how much I need to have saved for retirement. But how much do you need to have saved for your healthcare coverage? And it, most people say you should estimate 15% of your annual living costs should be devoted or will be devoted to your healthcare costs.
That is a good rule of thumb to remember. And lastly, someone asks, I'm struggling with caregiving for my mom and trying to get my job done. Is there any benefit that my employer might have or that I can ask for to help?
Yeah, this is super tricky. And believe me, I've been through this myself. The one thing is, lots of employers can be flexible with you. You can talk to them about your situation and work for scheduling things. But the one thing that is available to many employees is the Family Medical Leave Act. And what that does is that gives you 12 weeks of unpaid leave from your company, but your job is protected. And what that might just be enough time for you to not be worried about losing your job, but to figure out how you're going to make this work for you. I'm not saying it's a great solution, but it is a big help for people who have access to that. And Julie, I want to say one quick thing about the Medicare, how much you might expect, not Medicare, but how much in health insurance payments you should set aside, $172,500. That does not include long-term care costs, and about 80% of people will need long-term care costs. And so that, trust me, the number is going to be much bigger.
Yeah, very, very important caveat, as I am seeing firsthand, Carrie. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And don't forget to get long-term care insurance, because you're going to need it if you go into a nursing home. Well, we've got one other thing to do, and then we've got to call it an evening, guys. Hopefully this information is going to help you. But here's something on budgeting, saving, and investing. Four things you need to know. So here we go.
I'm David Ottenschneider, the debt guy, guys, and host of the podcast Living Not So Fabulously. Welcome, guys. Let's jump right in with the first question. Is it better to pay off debt or save for an emergency fund first? David, let's start with you. What do you think?
Definitely. I think that, as with most financial questions, it depends. I think one of the important things to remember is whether you're paying off debt or you're funding your emergency savings, both are working in the positive direction. They're both improving your net worth. But we encourage people to look at a dual approach. First, build emergency savings enough to cover your major deductibles for things like car insurance or home insurance. Then work on paying off that credit card debt. While you're building your emergency savings, though, make sure that you're making those minimum payments on those credit cards.
And second question, someone asks, how much money should I keep in an emergency fund? John, you can take this one.
Well, that's a great question to ask. Vanguard recently came out with a study that showed that respondents said that if they had $2,000 in an emergency savings account, their financial anxiety decreased by 21%. So maybe that is something to strive for. We have always said shoot for having a minimum of at least $1,000. And keep in mind that if you have contributions into a Roth IRA, you can withdraw those contributions without penalty or taxes. So that could always be your emergency savings account on top of your emergency savings account. And maybe contribute enough to an emergency savings account and to your Roth to be able to use a dual approach, as David said.
And question number three is about investing. The viewer asks, how can I invest for retirement if I don't have a 401k at work? David, what's your advice for them?
You know, this is a really common question because there are a lot of individuals working for small companies that can't afford to fund a 401k. So the best approach is to look towards your traditional Roth IRAs. Obviously, Roth IRAs, there's some income limits on those. But the nice thing is you can contribute up to $7,000 if you're under the age of 50. If you're 50 or older, you can contribute $8,000. And if you have a side gig, you're able to set up a solo 401k. And if that's doing really well, you can contribute to that up to $23,000 a year. Or if you're over the age of 50, that's $30,500 a year, which that's a pretty good side gig.
Yeah. And final question here. Should I use a robo-advisor or pick my own investments? John, are you pro-bot or not?
If you're a lazy investor like I am pro-bot. Hire the robots all you can. If you're a more active investor or more engaged investor like David is, maybe not necessarily a robo-advisor is for you. But keep in mind that if you do decide to manage your money on your own, financial advisors and robo-advisors earn their keep, right? It takes a lot of time and effort to be able to find the right stocks or mutual funds and to manage your portfolio. And most fund managers can't beat the stock market 2 years in a row. So if you're not able to up to par with that kind of a competition, maybe hire the robo-advisor, but make sure that they're low cost and that they keep the cost of your investments below 0.5%. And make sure that, of course, that they also invest in a diversified portfolio of low-cost index funds or ETFs.
Hey, John and David, thank you so much. You can hear more from the Debt-Free Guys on their podcast, Living Not So Fabulously. That's out every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Yahoo Finance or wherever you get your podcast.
And I'll tell you what, guys. Prepper Princess always says, live beneath your means. That is the key, is living beneath your means. And that is a really smart thing to do. If you don't need the Netflix or you don't need the fancy stuff, guess what? Live beneath your means. Don't use it. Do without if you can. So you might want to live like the Amish do, very simply. And maybe they have a good thing when it comes to medicine and the way that they live. It's a simple way of doing things, I guess. Well, anyhow, guys, guess what? It's almost that time to leave, but like they have said, and I'm going to say it again, pay down your debt. Get out of debt. Pay with cash as much as possible. Get out of debt. And if you have to go in debt on a credit card, pay it off within 2 or 3 payments, but don't keep adding to it. Buy long-term food, canned goods, freeze-dried. You name it, find things that are long-term. Make sure that you have money set aside for an emergency, and that's part of the key. So if your car suddenly breaks down and you need $2,000, you might have it to do that, to make the repairs. But if you don't have a safety fund build up, then you have a problem. Well, I owe too many bills. Well, pay your bills down, but also set aside maybe $20 a week, $30 a week, $10, $5, whatever. You set it aside. Don't touch it unless it's to be used for emergencies, okay? There's a lot of things to prepare for. Make sure you have plenty of batteries. Make sure you've got those blue tarps for your roof, okay? That might save you for a little bit. A lot of things to consider. With that, guys, that's all I've got. Hey, check us out on Money and Change/Financially Prepped on Facebook. And also, stop back on Wednesday nights and join us for My World, and we'll have some fun. We might talk about a few serious things, but guess what? That's when we kick back and have a good time. So, you know, bring your own snacks, your own favorite beverage. Join us and sit back and have a good time. With that, guys, we're done. I'll see you next Sunday. See you.